This is Hacker Public Radio episode 3372 for Tuesday, the 6th of July 2021. Today's show is entitled HPR 2020, 2021 New Year's Eve, Show Episode 8. It is hosted by Hunky Magoo and is about 99 minutes long and carries an explicit flag. The summary is, the HPR community stops by for a chat.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by Archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
Of the road?
Yes.
Okay. I'm just checking. What if a deer fell into my smoker? What if a deer jumped out of its skin and jumped into my smoker?
That'd be a neat trick and I'd want to see it.
I've switched over to Mumla.
Mumla? I like Mumla. It's now my go-to on Android devices.
It is or is not?
It is my go-to. I do still have Plumble installed, but when I'm on Android anymore, I'm using Mumla.
That's when my push-to-talk switched over to I needed to set it back up again.
No, I understand, you know, poaching, hunting out of season. It's illegal for a reason. But there was a time when I was a kid when, you know, my family didn't have any money and sometimes it was the only way to eat.
The problem is going to be the hunt.
Yeah. You mean those, I can't say the word on here, people that bag a deer and all they take is the head and leave the rest there?
That's a poacher.
That's trophy hunting.
It's a poacher as well.
Now, that far north, do you guys, do you get pheasant and quail?
There's a lot of pheasant and quail.
Okay. Pheasant's good eating anyway.
We get partridge.
Partridge? I don't think I've done partridge.
It's like a big pheasant.
Do you go fishing?
No, I filled out all the necessary legal paperwork.
You probably don't do your own hunting then either. You pick up the meat in trade? Well, no, because we used to, sometimes we'd be able to get a hog or, you know, or even with a deer. A lot of times what we would do is we'd go to our local butcher and be like, hey, clean this up for us and you can have half of it.
Yeah, no, don't do that. Most get to where they need a butcher.
Well, when I say clean it up, I also mean he'd make a sausage as well. Usually we do our own smoking, because we had a smoker.
I miss some red-eye gravy.
Yeah, it's been a while since I had grits. I'm not sure about red-eye gravy, though.
Oh, that's good stuff.
What's it made from?
Salt.
Salt?
Salted pork. Your shoulder.
Red-eye gravy. The gravy is made from the drippings of pan-fried country ham mixed with black coffee. Okay, that does sound good.
Very good. Very not healthy. You just think bacon and coffee.
You had me at coffee.
I make a lot of bacon. Well, I was doing a broccoli salad. So are you in
Texas?
I
had to talk to my son for a minute. What's up?
I said, are you in Texas?
I'm in Texas, yeah. Do I?
Compared to you.
Yeah. I guess it's kind of everywhere, so.
You don't eat much of it?
I've had to start cutting back on red meat. My cholesterol started shooting up. And honestly, I've never been a fan of barbecue sauce. Don't tell the rest of Texas that. They'll ban me.
No barbecue.
Oh, no. There's plenty of barbecue sauce.
I don't do barbecue.
Yeah, I'm not a fan.
I do like barbecue sauce. That's about it.
Yes, I could do some barbecue chicken, but gotta be careful of the salt, too.
Chicken's eat on the grill. Rub it down with mayonnaise.
What'd you say? Mayonnaise. That's disgusting.
Not when you grill it.
Oh, no. You said mayonnaise, and that's disgusting.
No, mayonnaise.
Mayonnaise.
Mayonnaise, that, you know, that egg and oil.
That absolutely thing. Disgusting thing.
Yes, don't eat it plain. I'm saying, when you're raw chicken, grill it. And salt and your pepper and garlic powder, whatever else you want in it.
Okay.
Create a second skin. Yummy.
Where's the habaneros and the jalapenos and the mango?
No citrus.
No citrus? Why no citrus?
You don't want any citric acid. My number is in here.
That's from a movie with Denzel Washington.
No.
It actually is.
Jurassic Park?
Yeah, that's Jurassic Park. It's not Denzel Washington.
It's not Denzel Washington that said it. It's also from a Denzel Washington movie, though. Trying to remember this movie.
Maybe Demolition Man?
Denzel Washington was not in Demolition Man. That was Wesley Snipes.
Right. That was what. That sounds like something.
Virtuosity. And it was actually the antagonist that did the I thought of that too. Russell Crowe. Russell Crowe as Sid 6.7.
What year did that come out?
1995.
Ah, Drew Park was first.
You're probably right.
Oh, you haven't slept yet?
I've been having trouble sleeping lately.
Does not sound like
it's not. Unless you really want me to talk about apnea.
Oh, right. One of the guys.
Yeah, that surgery doesn't work for everybody, so it depends on what's causing your apnea. If it's a deviated septum, then yeah. But it can also be completely mental.
In your head, dude.
Just in your head. You quit breathing because, yeah, I think I've had 3 hours of sleep in the last almost 36 hours. I don't know if... Yeah. And I don't know if it's just that I need my pressure adjusted or what. Or if my machine is getting old and dying.
Well, if it's the latter, you...
Maybe. I might be able to go in and fix it, but I would never know that if I could get the pressure settings to what they're supposed to be.
So how do those...
Hold on 1 second.
Yes, that's how they work.
They work in the same way as... It's like they're blowing at your face the whole time, but what they're doing is changing the pressure, much like a hyperbaric chamber, which is why full face masks work.
I have to wear a full face mask at work anytime there's 2S leak.
Mortensy, do you also have apnea?
No, I have narcolepsy, but they tried giving me a CPAP, and it messed up my nighttime breathing.
Yeah, if there's too much pressure or too little pressure, then it will cause more problems than it solves. And if you have narcolepsy as opposed to apnea, then it's just going to be a problem.
At 4 sleep studies, and the doctor wouldn't even, she was just waiting until I hit close to the minimum for possible sleep apnea to give me a machine.
Yeah, that's dumb.
The fourth time I had the sleep study, two of the techs told me, they said, you have sleep apnea. That's what it is.
And that's why you had narcolepsy?
They told me that I had narcolepsy. And I was like, no, I don't. And I went home after the sleep study and looked it up. And I was like, oh my God, I have narcolepsy. I told my friends that, and they were like, yeah, duh. They brought up things like me falling asleep between Voivod and Death Angel at a concert when we were in high school. Standing in the pit.
Yeah. Well, I'll be honest, and apnea can cause things like that because you don't get any sleep, and then eventually you go to sleep whether you like it or not.
Hang on, you're going to have to go back to the boy band and Death Angel mosh pit.
Voivod, Canadian thrash metal from up there in Quebec.
Ah, that name. I heard different.
My favorite band ever. Top
what,
5.
You don't like Sabaton?
Who?
Sabaton? Norwegian death metal?
I'm sure it's fine, but probably Voivod, Black Sabbath, anything by John Zorn. They might be Giants, Richard Cheese, are some of my favorites.
I've been listening to some off-the-wall stuff lately, so I gotta look it up.
Backstreet Boys?
Lauren Babic, Eric July, Petey Pablo, some... Killswitch Engage. Definitely not all of their stuff, but that cover that they did of Holy Diver, that's awesome. Megadeth. You have to like Megadeth.
That band with the whiny little, yes, I do.
Some Flo Rida.
There's an all-female, I think Norwegian band, Swedish band called Hell Songs, and they do folk covers of metal. It's awesome.
My kids told me they hated Rush. I almost disowned them.
The guy that produced the Rush albums produced a couple of the Voivod albums. They're in the middle, and they have a very Rush feel to them.
Honestly, with Rush, that's still hard to tell how it sounds because they change their sound so much. All That Remains is pretty good.
What about Il Nino?
I don't know that one. How about Necrogoblicon?
Yes, they have a fantastic...
Yeah? Or Gwar?
I am probably the biggest Gwar fan you will ever meet.
Dan Walker will give you a run for...
No, he won't. I've probably seen him over 100 times. In the mid-80s, played in Columbus almost weekly for a while.
How about Crew Shadow?
I think so.
Another one of those bands that has gone through so many changes, you kind of have to be a bit more specific. The first and second iterations of Crew Shadow were really good, but I'm a sucker for a girl with a violin playing metal.
What about Archon?
Don't know it. How about Divinyls?
Apocalypse.
Sounds familiar?
They're the guys at the cellos, Metallica.
Ah, okay. I have listened to some of their stuff. Black Violin, Lindsey Stirling.
I don't think I've heard.
You haven't heard Lindsey Stirling? You should go look up Lindsey Stirling Shadows, like right now.
And playing
YouTube, as exciting as that is. I do use some, I was using some YouTube DM. I had some really interesting automated scripts set up in Cron to grab some specific YouTube videos when YouTube got rid of the built-in RSS features. I think it's buried a little bit deeper and you have to do a bit more to find it, but it was easier for me just to set up the script.
You have to actually,
like I said, YouTube DL and automatically remembers what videos you've already downloaded, so you have it check every day to see if there's anything new, and it automatically grabs it. Lustra, Seether, Buckcherry, Hot Action Cop.
No one.
But you don't like Hot Action Cop? You don't like Buckcherry?
I do not.
Why?
I don't know. It rubs me.
How about Lustra?
They're all right.
How about Nerd?
How about Insane Poetry?
Insane Poetry? I'm not sure on that one. Oh, let's just say, let's change up the genre a bit and go with Crisscross.
Yeah, but they make music.
They haven't been able to make music in like 30 years, so.
Never made music.
Well, I mean, one's dead now.
Did not know. When did he die? Skrillex?
My Life with the Thrill Kill Cult.
Don't know that one either.
They're amazing. Do you remember the movie The Crow?
Vaguely.
There was a band playing in the club. That was the Thrill Kill Cult.
What was the band that was playing in the Lone Rangers? Not Ozzy, the other band. I'm going to end up watching that movie again now that I've mentioned it. Airheads. It wasn't the Lone Rangers, it was Airheads.
Yeah, Lone Rangers was the name of the band in Airheads.
Yeah.
That was a good soundtrack.
Yeah. How's it going, Honky?
It's going.
Movie was 1994.
What, Airheads was?
Yeah. Yep. Gonna have to watch it again. Motorhead and Primus.
Prong. White Zombies. White Zombie.
Yeah, White Zombie. Is anybody a Reagan Youth fan?
Don't think I've heard of them.
Really? They were the people that made the song Degenerated.
Oh, okay.
How about Death? Not the metal band. The proto-punk band.
From the 70s?
Yes.
Yeah.
Not too bad. What about Can?
Way before your time.
What was it? Cam?
Can? C-A-N?
Nope, don't know him. Okay, so what's everybody's favorite book? Don't say data structures and algorithms.
What'd you say? Sorry, I thought I heard one of my kids crying.
Oh, what's everybody's favorite book?
Anything by Scott Sigler.
Sigler? What's Sigler write?
Scott Sigler? You don't know who Scott Sigler is?
Actually, I think I do. He wrote the space football books, right?
GFL, yeah.
Yeah.
But there's so many books he's written, and they all intertwine the same universe.
I think I've read parts of two of his series. So I read the GFL stuff, and I'm trying to remember. Nope.
I think there's been 4 or 5 GFL books and 4 novellas. That story arc is still not done. There's
Supposed to be coming out. Well, it's supposed to come out in 2020.
There's Mount Fitzroy and Earth Core are 2 nocturnal. There's the one about the genetically modified animals and the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. Ancestor. The Infected trilogy, Infected, Contagion, and Pandemic, which is so good and poignant to what's going on now.
Daniel Suarez?
I have not read any.
Dude, you really need to. I mean, what is it? Freedom and Damon and Freedom are really good, but he also, there's another book, Change Agent, that's really awesome, and Kill Decision, which I think was more of a short story. And then I'll always be a Salvatore fan. But last month was a good, no, November was a good month for books. I mean, the new Alex Veris book came out, Ready Player 2, and Brandon Sanderson's Rhythm of War. A really good book. Really good series. Stormlight Archive.
I have to go and prepare things for guests.
It was good talking to you. Happy New Year.
That was good. Play around for runs.
Cool. Let me check. Nope.
It was JBitcast.
Yeah. Let me see if it went to
spam.
Nope. Nothing recent in spam. Hold on. Yeah, it's JB@mintcast.org. You could send it to mintcast@mintcast.org, and I should get that too.
It's not Gmail backed, but no, Outlook.
No, it's Gmail backed. Mortensy, have you read John Scalzi?
Who?
John Scalzi.
No.
You should give him a try. Which book was it? Old Man's War? I think there's 4 books in that series, but really the first 2 are good and the other 2, eh. All right, I think I might try this whole sleep thing again. Get an hour or 2 or something. I'll talk to you guys later.
Bye. All right.
It was good getting to talk to you again, Mortensy.
We should talk more.
Yeah. Well, you know where to find me. Twice a week. Well, once a week.
I do. I think, or I'm going to try and sleep.
You can try and get on the Lugcast, too. Actually, that'll be tonight.
8 o'clock?
What time zone are you in?
Eastern. It's 10 o'clock right now.
I'd be logging in at 8 o'clock, so you'd be logging in at 9 o'clock? Darn it, I haven't slept. Make me maths. Honky, what time do you log in for the Lugcast this evening?
I'll look it up when I wake up.
All right. Later. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Goodbye, everyone.
So it looks like we got a few new people this New Year's show. At one point, it looked like it was about 20 people in the chat. Ken, you there?
Not sure if my voice is going through either. So.
No, it is. Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can.
Yep.
I had disconnected my mic to record a HPR show.
As you do.
Looks like we had about 20 people in here in the evening.
Yesterday evening?
That's right.
He is still today because I went to bed 5 o'clock and then slept for 6 hours and
come back again.
Did Glad2 ever come on last night?
Don't believe so, no.
That's too bad. Look forward to hearing him.
Yeah, exactly. He had a little bit of life coming in his way. Let's just say like that.
I know that. It was nice to hear Nightwise yesterday.
Indeed. His own show went a bit quiet for a while.
And he got busy with his own business, I think.
I need to just go and have a quick chat with my wife. 1 second, I'll be back. Okie dokie. Kevin, why have you left us? So is the stream working still? So Kevin's just disconnected the stream. It's now 1600 UTC.
Hello? Is anybody still here? I see faces in the room, I do not hear voices. This is Moss Bliss. I haven't talked to any of you people all year, except the few I left. Hello. I'm just talking nice to hear myself happy talk. Happy New Year. Just talking to hear someone say something, yeah.
Yeah, you kind of have to wait a while, yeah.
Yeah. I just woke up and thought I'd give everyone my nice, deep morning voice.
You're listening to Cool Sounds, brought to you by Moss.
Late night radio is the best.
I did radio back in my younger days. Ads.
Yeah. Crazy, Eddie! It is foggy and rainy here in eastern Tennessee.
It's dark and cold here, frosty, in the Netherlands. Holland, to be specific.
Ah, the Holland part of the Netherlands. It's all lowlands anyhow.
Exactly.
Oh man, haven't got through my morning cough. I have, I scare people around here with COVID and all, because I have some granulomas in my upper lungs, and they're totally benign, and they don't get disease, but overnight they collect gook, and I have to cough it out. Yeah, my body says, that shouldn't be here, and so it surrounds it with phlegm, so it can get it out of the system, except it doesn't get out of the system. I have to go get the phlegm out of the system. Isn't that lovely to wake up the morning with? Yes, huh? Oh.
Better out than in?
Yeah, well, it's all in. I just have to... I have been in my life a pipe and cigar smoker, but not a cigarette smoker. And with pipe and cigar, you don't inhale, but some of it gets in anyhow. Yeah, it doesn't get in deep, but that's probably what causes the granulomas.
Yeah,
exactly. And why they're just at the upper lobes of my lungs. But fortunately, benign granulomas. And,
So do you have any plans for the new year?
Today there's nothing. You can't do anything, and it's rainy and foggy anyhow, and people keep telling you not to go out at all because of COVID, and so I'm just going to sit here and do nothing. I just checked in to see if HPR was still on the air, and they still are. Yeah.
Well, Kevin quit the stream, and but I'm leaving the recording going here. See, I'm pottering about here all day, all weekend probably. So, because, surprise, surprise, we're in lockdown, so I'm not going to be doing a lot.
Really? Yeah, I tried to get all my podcasts caught up. By the end of the year, I failed to get the most recent Mintcast, but I can forgive myself because I was on it. I already know it was on that show. And then I also woke up to find a brand new one from Big Aussie Prepper, our friend Hobstar.
Not familiar.
Hobstar designed the new Mintcast logo. He's a Big Aussie Prepper. Yeah, he's a 6'5" Aussie. Lives in the Victoria state of Australia, and he just started, well, this was episode 13, which is rather auspicious to start the new year with. You triskinecophobiacs can freak out over that one. And he basically has decided that he's going to start being a prepper, which in America we'd call a survivalist. You know, be ready for whatever happens, and how to make bug out bags, how to do enough canning to stay alive for a year if you had to, stuff like that. And it's a very informative podcast, and he's not fanatic about it in any way, and it's very much
that is the danger, obviously.
Yeah, it's very much I'm just learning how to do this, and I just thought I'd share the process with you. And he's a cool guy, and so I've been catching up on it. They're rather short.
Is the show Creative Commons in any way?
I would believe so. I don't. I get it on my. I use Podcast Addict, and I just get it there. I don't know if he's got a feed burner feed, but
no. I mean, does he release it under a Creative Commons license, or does he not put any license on, which means it's full copyright and it's actually illegal for you to download in the first place?
Oh, really?
Being pedantic. Yeah.
I didn't know that. I will talk to Hob and let him know. Well, let me go open up the website. He also has a YouTube channel. He's starting to do some videos on the stuff that's harder to talk about. Let's see. I don't know. I usually just talk to him in the Mintcast Telegram. Big Aussie Prepper on, Red Circle.
Paste the link there into Mumble.
Yep, let me get this open and that open, and here is, I'm sure if he knew the problem, he would address it, and I will make sure he knows the problem. And maybe he has addressed it. And here is the YouTube channel.
Because if he's, and this is going to anybody else who's listening, if you've got a Creative Commons show, we will... on HPR happily syndicate one episode of that so that people know your show exists and you get an instant audience.
As you did wonderfully for Distro Hopper's Digest, and we have over 1,900 downloads of our HPR episode and 8,000 of all 18 of our episodes through our normal channels.
Fantastic. But we also have got the Free Culture podcast website. Currently at the moment, some technical issues, but we're working on that. And there we're going to, using that as like an umbrella for people to gather Free Culture podcasts on any topic, so long as they're released under a Creative Commons license. And then we promote them at shows and stuff whenever that happy day arrives again.
Okay, apparently I do not currently have an open conversation with Hob on Telegram, so I'll just have to contact him on Mintcast.
No worries.
Matt Hobstar. I'm a decent typer in speed, but I pound this keyboard to death.
Yeah, I didn't notice that. I wasn't going to say anything because as soon as you do, then you have a 4-hour conversation about the type of keyboard there are.
Well, it's a Fellows Microband. No, this is not Cherry Blues or anything.
There you go. You mentioned it. Fast forward 2 hours, guys.
I am going to mute this thing and keep typing. What you said something about having a channel for, I'm not awake enough to remember what it was you said. You said it's currently not working too well.
A sister website basically where we list Creative Commons podcasts, and then last year, for example, in at FOSDEM and OddCamp, we gave out leaflets of various different podcasts to people so that they could go there and then from there, promote Creative Commons podcasts regardless of the genre. Maybe you're not into Linux, you're at an event with your partner or whatever, but you are into metal music or you are into science fiction comedy or D&D games or stuff, then look down the list and you'll find another Creative Commons podcast that you're into. So it's been frustrating because some of the shows you want to promote, but if we promoted all the shows, then we would just be a syndicated channel like Hacker Media was intended to be. So this is a way to kind of promote the other type of shows within. And we also make sure people tidy up their feeds so Creative Commons is listed there. And
right,
yeah, it also gives people avenues for playing music or content that they don't need to license, so you don't need to get a national broadcast license if you get a shop or something. Check that with your local jurisdiction.
Well, I would assume that Tony knows all this stuff, and Distro Hoppers is definitely Creative Commons.
Cool.
After all, you did release our first show, so.
Yeah, well, we checked the license to make sure everything was hunky-dory.
Yeah, well, Tony does the dots the I's and crosses the T's on our site. Let's see.
Indeed he does.
Yeah, we added a new member to our team with our last episode. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you listen to our show.
I do, and but I have a little bit of a backlog with all things going on at the moment.
Yeah, I cut off a bunch of shows that I noticed I wasn't that excited about listening to, just so that I could say I listened to everything on my list at the New Year's, and I didn't quite make it. The most recent episode of Mintcast did not get listened to yet, but that was released in the old year. Anyhow, let's see. Where would I look to see whether it's Creative Commons on here? I'm on my own website, and I don't know. Copyright. This work is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial 4.0 International License. Yay!
And we look in the RSS feed. There's a special license tag in the title. And if that says Creative Commons, then we're good to go.
Well, last time I did stats, we were at 8,000 total downloads through Archive. and it was over 1,900 just for the one episode HPR. So almost, we're getting close to 10,000 total downloads.
Very good.
And three of our last four episodes have exceeded 600 downloads each. You should go check archive. I'm proud. Oh, today is the day I usually do check archive. Good. See? That gives me something to do today. It updates the stats on both Mintcast and Distro. So, and of course, they want me to give them money, and I would love to, but I don't have any. yeah, that isn't right. Here we go. The sample episode of Distro Hopper's Digest is at 1,960 downloads.
Very good.
And our other best episode is at 637 downloads. Oh, well. I'm still talking to people that have never heard. Well, last night when I was on this podcast, a lot of people said they'd never heard of us. Shame on them.
Exactly.
At this point, when we started this, we were expecting to maybe have 100 people listening to us. And our lowest episode is our first episode at 336. But when you figure our first episode also has that 1,970 downloads from you guys, we can't say that. Yeah.
True.
We've only got four episodes now that are under 400. We've got 18 episodes out now. Yeah. 18 episodes. We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 more that are under 500. But I think it's nice that it's growing.
Do the older shows increase over time as well?
A little bit. Just a hair, you know. When someone discovers our show, they usually go back and pick up all the other shows because obviously, our topic is not one that goes out of date that fast.
We find on HPR, there's about 50% within the first 2 weeks or so, first month. Mm. 50% of the hits come, and then subsequently, any show can expect to double that listenership over time.
Well, let's see.
Very long tail.
Well, I think it's Mintcast, we've been... Oh, golly, our averages are coming up, actually. We were averaging about 3,300 episode. I think we're starting to average about 3,600 episode. But you can see, in terms of most recently released stuff, 346 is at 3698, 346.5 is 3525, 347 is 3589, but then 347.5 is 3245, 348 is 3145, 348.5 is 2837, 349 is 2593, 349.5 is 2345, 350 is 1889, 350.5 is 1456, and 351 has not registered a download yet. That archive is a little slow on that. I know that there have been downloads because I've got it. But it's really interesting. You can see over a just four episode period how the downloads are coming in, and like I said, 345.5 and 346 are over 3,600. 346.5 and 347 are 3,500, and then it drops to 32, 31, 28, 25, 23, 18, and 14. So we do not get instant access to our show.
No, that's true. And you have it on archive.org, do you?
Yes.
A fantastic service. People who are feeling generous at this time of year could do worse than contribute to archive.org.
I totally agree, and I have mentioned it on the show a few times. But yeah, I can just go there and get my stats. I don't know how they collect their stats, and they all do seem to be a week or two behind, but yeah, I get all the stats, you know?
They are very conservative in the amount of numbers that they're producing. So they what they do is they have a page in this, which I've read, and they calculate the numbers the same way that I did, which was for any given 24-hour period, they will look at the number of downloads per IP address per show. So if you are behind a firewall and, you know, a school or something and 1,500 people download it, that's still only counted as one episode, mm-hmm. as one download in that 24-hour period. But if those 1,500 people download different versions of the show, then you'll get the different versions of the show. So that is completely contrary to how other websites would do it.
I also
and they do it based on the number of hits that exceed 3 seconds. So if it's viewed for more than 3 seconds, then that's considered a unique hit. Also, if, for example, an IP address with a session pauses it and restarts it, that's considered a unique hit. So the numbers on Internet Archive will be very conservative.
Uh-huh.
You would need to multiply them by 10 if you're comparing them with some other commercial services.
I also came up with a website on who has hosted Mintcast, how many episodes. Basically, I went back and looked at all the show notes to say, okay, who's on this episode, and marked them down. And,
oh, very good.
The current staff is just about, well, Leo and Joe have been on every show since we took over, and that's been 58 episodes. And one of the co-hosts that we replaced, Isaac, was only on 61 episodes. We have already surpassed, I have not, but Leo and Joe have already surpassed the original host, Charles mm-hmm. Olson.
All right.
He only did 51 episodes, but we got a long way to go to beat Rob Hawkins. Out of 351 episodes, Rob Hawkins was on 245 of them.
Wow.
That's dedication.
Indeed. Very much so. That takes a lot of time.
So I can see how he got tired of doing it.
Yeah, for sure.
He stuck around to get us all trained in, so we could at least do a bad podcast. And he came back several episodes later, got talked into, he was hanging around doing nothing, and we shanghaied him into doing an episode. So he's the gold standard in Mintcast, 245, and he has got such a good voice. All right, now Leo and Joe have 58 episodes, I've got 49, and Tony has 45.
Something you want to do on HPR is go back and support multiple hosts on a particular show. Quite a lot of shows have been contributed by several people, so yeah.
Uh-huh.
But we don't support that yet, but we will eventually.
Well, all right, we managed to get through 2020, I'm not sure how. It was a very mixed up year for me. I'm sure it was for everybody. Dale just said he wanted to get on. I'm here with Tim Allen now. Dale Miracle said I wanted to get on the HPR Mumble last night but fell asleep. I was saying something, I'm sure. I don't remember. It's still early. I haven't had my coffee yet.
Go have your coffee.
I haven't plugged my coffee in.
I've been on coffee all day and I've got a headache again.
Well, I drink gallons of coffee, so.
Tattoo would be proud.
Well, I am picky about my coffee. I don't like coffee that picks me up and carries me across the room. I'd rather have one that I pick up and carry across the room. The flavor is more important than the strength. And I only drink MJB, which is not what it used to be. But when I was a kid, they only sold MJB to the West Coast of the U.S. Their advertising slogan was, there's only enough for the West. Now it's being produced out of Virginia. So that's clear across the street. So, but I can get it on Amazon now, so I'm happy.
Right, I'm going to go and post some shows, I think. Okay. Keep me busy for a while.
All right. I will go copy.
I'll be here listening.
All right, Ken. Nice talking to
you. Happy New Year and all the best wishes to you and yours.
Oh, yeah. I was about to give you a rundown on my New Year. You don't want to know. Go do what you're doing.
I'll be back in a minute and you can tell me all about it.
Okay. There, I took a little extra time to make some breakfast.
Excellent, excellent.
Not what most people would call a good breakfast, but what the heck. A microwave beef pot pie, you bet.
Nice.
Well, I take it that Dale did not follow my prompting and come in here because I don't see him. Anyhow, I'm sure everybody has a story about 2020.
Oh, yeah.
In my case, I started the year with a decent job, although they'd fired my, they'd moved my good manager to a different store. And then April 15th, I crashed my car on the job.
Oh.
And instead of putting me on workers' comp, they laid me off and blamed COVID, which has pluses and minuses. Workers' comp has been really bad at following through on my health care, but I also should have been giving workers' comp payments instead of unemployment. I ran out of my unemployment, but during that time, I was getting that COVID money that the U.S. was doing for a brief period of time. And because of that COVID money, which was, well, after taxes, I was getting something like $660 a week. That's probably more than double the most I've ever made. So since we got it for as long as we did, I probably had my best year financially. I was able to climb out of 95% of my debt. I got set up such that even though I haven't really worked much since then, I also haven't gone broke yet.
That's good.
I think we're starting to drift back into a little bit of debt that we left ourselves as a leeway. But I got a job as a substitute teacher in the local school district, and then they started closing the schools due to COVID. So I have a job that I don't have work. That's not good.
No, not good at all.
Obviously, they weren't going to train me to do remote teaching since they didn't have time to train the regular teaching. So, it's been very much a up and down thing. I have not had the security of knowing where my next money is coming from, but I did have the ability to get out of a lot of debt. I got a job with Census Bureau, and I could have continued working it, but I never got paid. And we found out that it was my fault that I had given they wanted direct deposit done. I had given them the routing number of one of my credit unions and the account number of another one, so it was going nowhere. It took 3 months for me to get paid. I only worked short 3 weeks, and still it was over $1,000, which was nice, but I was going week after week after week, where's my money? So that was not a fun period.
At least you got it in the end.
I did get it in the end. I did not get what a lot of people that work for Trump get, which is you just did it for the experience. Put it on your resume.
Whoa.
Yes, I did get paid. I just don't know what to say. We just yesterday got our new $600 per person COVID check. So we took care of a few things that needed to be done, and hopefully we will be able to survive through January and maybe into February. But I still do not have a paycheck, although I currently have two jobs. In the past, I had done some work with the homeless in Asheville, and I had actually been moderately successful at it, except for not paying myself for doing it. I got sort of famous for that in a small way. And I've got a friend that keeps trying to get businesses started. That if the business is successful, it will help some group of homeless people stop being homeless, start having a real job, things like that. And the current episode of that appears that it has a chance of actually working. So he's paying me a little bit now and then to get going. He's got a website up, and he has me listed as the founder, as if I'm making gobs of money. And basically, when he has work for me to do, he's paying me $20 an hour to do it, which is good pay.
Okay.
But I've done 4 hours work this last week, you know. It's $80 more than I would have had, but...
yeah, true.
But if it takes off, I'll actually more people that are had. I hope I will have some say in how those people are treated as employees. But we We have committed to paying them a living wage. As we can afford to hire someone, they will be getting paid also the $20 an hour. Most handicapped people, most homeless people, get paid day labor rates, which are usually like, $8 an hour. And it's horrible how they get used. And so we're trying to fix that. I have no idea if it'll work.
I have comments, but I'm keeping them to myself.
Well, I worked with this guy a few times over the last 10 years, and some people have gotten some benefit out of working with him. Occasionally that's been me, but not as much as other people. This time I've gotten a fair benefit out of it. I've had to do some work. I've had to wait for him to ask me to do some work, but I don't know. I fail to see how it would hire all the people he says it's going to hire, but I would love to be wrong, and I would love to get paid. So yeah. What are the comments you're keeping to yourself? Don't hold back. I want to hear it.
No, I won't go into it. It's about treating people fairly and stuff, employment benefits, that sort of thing. Relying on the state, but that brings up all sorts of politics that I don't have the time or indeed the energy, or in fact, I'm not naive enough to believe that it is a nirvana in which we live.
Mm.
Well, quite a lot of the benefits from that are currently in Western Europe are a direct result of the fact that there was a Soviet bloc. On the other side, and you know, people were going, well, they have free social housing. Oh, we better get free social housing. They have workers' rights. Oh, we have workers' rights too, as well. But now that that's collapsed, a lot of people have been looking towards the more Trump style, and I think that might not be desirable in my mind.
I am not a Marxist per se. I do appreciate the views of Rosa Luxemburg, who was someone that kept getting in Marx's face and correcting his math, but still remained along the same lines. She didn't think Marx was wrong. She just thought he was incorrect. You see the difference. Yeah. Your math is off, but your concepts are good.
I'm not familiar. Feel free to do a HPR episode on her. Very interesting. But I will say that there are grades. It's not just left to right. It's not just communism, socialism, capitalism. It's a donut.
I think what Sweden has is pretty much what I think the U.S. should have. But it has been pointed out that Sweden is not managing this much land or this many people.
Yeah.
While we are not China or India, there's nobody else as big as we are. And you can see what China has to do to manage their people, and that's not good. And India has turned into a racist monopoly now, too, with Modi being anti-Islamic and anti-everything that isn't a white Indian. He learned too much from the English.
Just give me one sec. I need to check with my wife again. She's on call, and need to make sure she's doing okay. One second. Yeah, I'm back. She's responsible for several care homes where they're handicapped, or I don't know what's the politically correct word. Yeah, people who need a lot of care.
Yeah.
And she's on call over the New Year, and it's nuts because you've got all the New Year stuff, and in addition to that, there's lots of the units shut down because of COVID, or one half of them is open and the other half shut down. So after 4 days, she's need to make sure she's eating okay.
I had been working as a caregiver in the past, and I got railroaded out. Mm-hmm. Basically. The client I was watching burned himself. I couldn't get hold of the nurse. I couldn't take him to the hospital on my own authority. And they basically made it look like I hadn't tried to contact the nurse. And the fact that I got him to the hospital. The biggest problem was I am a fast typist. I took copious notes on what was going on. And since they are not used to fast typists, they were sure all I was doing was sitting down writing notes and not taking care of my client. And so they basically said I was not responsible for his care and wrote me up as a class one neglect, whereas I was taking care of him to the best of my ability.
Well, that sucks.
Yeah. So that's when I started driving Uber, and then I moved from there into driving for O'Reilly Auto Parts. And then I crashed my car in April and lost that job. So it has been in a whole lot of different things, including radio.
Curiosity's just put in Rev Pony Telecom.eu 1900. Put in a link. Tell them what it's about.
Well, I wouldn't know anything about telecom and EU.
This thing is flooding my network board. I've got nothing open. It almost looks like a DDoS. And literally the only things that I've got open is a couple of small websites and Mumble. That's it. But this thing is like thousands of packets a second almost.
Coming into you or leaving you?
Sorry, what?
Which direction is it going?
Let me have a look. No, it's coming in.
Never heard of it. Could be a Tor exit north. Are you running Tor?
Yes, I am. That might actually be it. But yes, like that's this what is, it is. This is so much traffic.
I seem a bit distracted. I'm posting some shows, so.
Yeah, no worries. I think you're right. So I'm not distressed now anymore.
Panic. So where are you based?
I'm in South Africa.
Yeah, what part?
What part of South Africa?
Oh, sorry. Tshwane or Pretoria.
Okay.
Cool.
A bit.
That's in the Gauteng province.
Yeah, Mintcast has a regular listener called Londoner who I think is in Johannesburg. I'm not positive.
Yeah, I think the like sort of security research thing is getting quite big around the IT crowd at this time. So I've been busy with it for a couple of years, but I think it really is picking up pace.
Well, it is now afternoon here in beautiful eastern Tennessee, 12:39. It is foggy and raining.
How far is that from Boca Chica?
From where?
Boca Chica in state of Texas.
Okay, I'm not familiar with the name of the town, but Texas is quite a distance from Tennessee. This is a bigger country than anyone can think of.
Yeah, it is big.
Yeah, with yeah, what was it, 350 million people? Yeah, that's quite substantial.
Well, not only that, but it's the fourth largest country in the world by area.
Although South Africa just has no small backwater either, truth be told.
Nope, it isn't. Nope, it isn't.
Yeah, we've got some decent space. It's a bit of a contentious topic at the moment because certain extremists want to basically take away land from everybody and redistribute it and all those lovely things. But so just out of interest sake, Boca Chica is basically where Elon Musk is doing his SN8 and SN9, the whole spaceship program.
Let's see here. See, I can't really answer because Texas itself is about the same size as South Africa.
Jeez, like, okay. Right, yeah, that creates a little bit of perspective.
Here we go. Elon Musk confirms that he has moved to Texas. Looking at homes near Lake Austin. So that's East Texas. It's actually the sanest part of Texas. The main University of Texas is where most of the liberals live in Texas. That's Austin.
Okay. I actually thought like the whole of the South of America is fairly sane.
No, the whole of South America is fairly insane and believes everything that comes out of the words of Donald Trump.
Yeah, see, that also doesn't work. What we need to do is get rid of any form of extremism. So be that left or right, and everybody just use common sense. I think if we can pull that off, man,
well,
we're going
to
be in
the
good
spot. Fallacy of your argument is there is no commonality to sense. You can't use common sense if there isn't a common sense.
Yes, okay, now I understand that. But if we rely on logic and not ideologies, then I think we're already one step in the right direction.
Yeah, I believe that any ideology, any pure ideology is impractical and will leave some facet of society out. We have to have some level of compromises to meet the needs of more of the most people. I don't think there's any way to meet the needs of all people.
Yeah, I think, you know, specifically on this forum, no, we should probably not pick sides, but things like 58 genders doesn't quite sit well with me. You know, things like that, that's the extreme sides, and we need to get rid of that sort of thing.
Well, I'm more inclusive than most. I am an old person who had never really felt comfortable in who and what I was, but there wasn't a better alternative, so I just stayed who and what I was. But if people do find out what they are comfortable being, I'm happy for them.
For me, the problem is just when they force me to
change
my scientific
view. Forcing anyone to change. Well, I don't know. Science has been employed badly on both sides. oh boy, I'm starting to sound like Trump.
Right,
there's good people
guys,
on both sides. Like Trump, there's good people on both sides.
guys, just give me 15 minutes. My daughter just saved a little bird, so I just need to find some space to try and rescue this thing. Just give me 15 minutes. I'll be back now.
Okay. Huh. My mouse is just locked up. I wonder why. There it unlocked. Huh. Maybe I should open up a viewer and see what's going on. Here, Stacer. Here, boy. Terribly. That was strange. I went to clear my cache in Stacer and instead closed Stacer. I have never had that happen before. All right, now it's working. Interesting. Well, I don't think I'm ever going to use Bluetooth on this. Gremlin, you know I have boundaries. You cannot come in here. There are certain rooms I don't let my cats in. Someone moved to Geeks with Guns. Hi. Huh. I have been crashing my CPU. That's weird. All I've got open is HPR and a few tabs of Firefox. I'm on a fourth generation i3 with 16 gigs of RAM. And apparently I'm taxing my CPU by being on HPR. I haven't ever noticed that while doing Mintcast.
How many of your cores are you using?
Apparently all of them. They're taking the core 4 has been getting overused the most, followed by core 1, and cores 2 and 3 less so. But there have been some 100% on core 3. I'm looking at my waves on Stacer right now. But I don't know, my averages aren't that bad, but boy.
I could take a look at mine, but there are too many.
Yeah. I do have a more powerful machine I'm not using. It's a second generation dual Xeon, but it uses a lot more power. This is a little bitty mini box.
I wonder what the calculations are then.
I don't know, because like I say, I've got Firefox open and I'm not actually in it. I've got 4 tabs open. I haven't even signed into any of them. I just open it up to look something up, so now I've closed that one. Let me go back and look at Stacer.
I would wonder what else Firefox is running in the background.
Well, I'm still tasking my processors, so it's got to be Mumble. Because I have my file manager open and not doing anything with it. I've got Stacer open, and that takes hardly any memory at all. And I'm still over peaking 100% on all processors at one time or another. Oh, boy. I'll have to look at that next time I'm on Mintcast, because they've been talking about some of my audio dropping out, and that might have been part of it. Might have to open the Fuzzy 400 again. I've got room in here. Well, I probably should find something better to do, although there probably isn't anything better to do. Yeah, in terms of news, I don't even bother watching the U.S. news reports anymore. I've got one commentator I listen to is a Next Day podcast. She's probably way off on the left, but I watch Canadian news, CBC The National, which I get the next day via YouTube. I figure they're more concerned with the U.S. than anyone but the U.S., and they're much less likely to take one side or another on the subject, but just report what's going on. And it has managed to keep my panic levels down. But it's also been fun because they panic over their COVID levels, and their COVID levels are like one-tenth of what the U.S.'s are. It shows you how a government deals with a crisis when healthcare is part of your budget, where it is not in the U.S. Oh, we'll just let people get sick and die. It doesn't matter. They can go bankrupt. They do it all the time.
It's easy for people tend to take that for granted in the UK, just healthcare, point of delivery, you know, or point of, what do they say? When you rock up, when you say I'm poorly, they just look after you.
Yeah. Well, in the U.S., we really don't have options. You go to the emergency room, you're treated like a third-class citizen, and billed several thousands of dollars, which you haven't made in the last 3 months. So basically, all you can do is file bankruptcy or just ignore the bill.
Yeah, I don't know. When I was thinking of moving out of the country, I did check. One of the first things I checked was, and I was surprised by how many countries do give free healthcare, at least at the point of access, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, at this point, the U.S. is the only first world nation that does not. I'm not sure we're still a first world nation. We seem to have economic policies more in line with India and Brazil than with UK and Sweden.
It does seem like it's not that far away. I mean, any country is never too far away from collapsing, really, considering the state of economic fantasy. But, you know, I think the American infrastructure was like roads and bridges. As far as the impression reaching here was, they were kind of falling over.
Yes and no. It varies from region to region. Some of it is the federal government's fault, some of it's the individual state's fault, some of it's even more local than that. But in general, our roads are not bad. But you don't know what bridge is about to fall down because they're managing to overperform what their design specs are.
Okay, and that is less of an issue than,
okay.
You know, whether what people will do when things get a bit hairy. And you've had a look at that recently, haven't you? I'd worry a little bit about the UK if people did become dissatisfied, how soon they would start ignoring other people.
Hmm. Well, UK is a pretty small country as countries go, so they might pull together a little bit more. But they've always considered themselves more than one country, and they might pull in separate directions, like Scotland. Scotland really wants to secede and rejoin the EU because they were happy in the EU.
I was thinking more on the person-to-person level, like how people will retreat into their houses and not help people around them, you know, and to what extent that might happen.
Well, as someone who at least has the title of running a corporation to employ homeless people, I hope that we would do better than that.
I'm just wondering, like you said, they are pulling in different directions. If you look at Brexit alone, wow. But is it not maybe the time to offer these external countries that belong to them independence, like Scotland? Why can they not have independence and rejoin the EU and just be Scotland?
Yeah, I wonder how Northern Ireland voted on Brexit, because they are the ones hurting the worst, because they had open borders with Ireland and had gotten over the troubles and everything, and now the EU is requiring them to close those borders again.
They'd be fine in the north of Ireland, and it's over now, Brexit, that bit's done. Scotland wanted independence before that, and they probably would have got it if it hadn't been for you know, the activities of Westminster. They probably will become independent soon. And when I say probably, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if they stay together. There's issue with nuclear submarines and things, and the fact that we could see it, or it would appear, the obviously the English government, Westminster, they won't allow it to happen if they can stop it. I mean, they look at what they've done in the rest of the world. You think, you know, maybe 100 years ago, they were machine gunning people in their own country. You know, it's just power. I you know, it'd be interesting.
I actually think the biggest problem is overpopulation. Earth was not meant for 7, 8, or 9 billion people. And it's like when you stick a whole bunch of people into a small room, tensions are going to rise. There's just nothing we can do about it.
I've seen enough statistics to say otherwise, that we definitely have the capacity to produce for the people that we have. We have the capacity to distribute, but we don't do it. We have the capacity to coordinate and cooperate, and we don't do it. And if that is why we have, and if that is a problem.
I agree.
A problem with population.
I think the problem is because when in doing that, there's no profit. And the world is built on profit. If there's no profit, why would I do it? And
well,
it's
again,
a human flaw.
We need to change that. We need to change the viewpoint of capitalism that profit is the only thing to be working for.
There are places where, you know, where capitalism isn't so much the main paradigm, mental paradigm. So there is hope. There were gift economies before they were destroyed by capitalism, right? Like the potlatches and things.
Yeah.
And for sure, we've got twice as much food as the humans need. It's just we feed half of it to animals, don't we?
And we throw a third of it out for spoilage because we don't know how to distribute it properly. Or we don't distribute it properly. We do know how. There's just no profit in it, like you said.
Yeah, and the idea of what people regard as profit and what they regard as a good time and what they, you know, how they feel about work and reward and scarcity and all of that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I believe it was a Native American elder who said that one day the white man will wake up and find out that you can't eat money.
Oh, that is so true.
Yeah. When so many people start walking, like displaced people, I think there were already 60 million displaced people in Africa were there last year or something. Maybe that was... And so imagine when people are moving away. I think they're moving away from the coasts and away from the desertified areas and then into this. I think Bangladesh is one of the most densely populated and close to the water. And the other countries were building a wall around that already, weren't they? Because so many people would clearly be moving soon.
Yeah, like Bangladesh. Put up a barrier and just let it flood. Oh my, what rules we portals be.
Okay, this traffic that I noticed from this pony thing seems to be a SIP protocol attack, so I'm just going to kill everything Tor and see if I can move this session into a different direction.
Well, I'm going to go do something else, even though I don't have something else to do. It's been a pleasure talking with you, Ken. I don't know if we've talked before. We probably did last year a little bit.
I'm sure you'll find something to do.
I mean, I heard
you singing.
Well, I don't do enough of that. I don't do that for myself. I have to have an audience to sing.
I get you. I should sing more. I used to sing in the garden.
I should sing more.
You can sing to us?
I did last night.
I hope that was recorded. It was
I missed that.
Again.
No, it was not recorded. I give freely.
No, I mean, somebody, I mean, I think it was all recorded.
Yes.
I wonder if it's been clipped out and stuck somewhere.
Well, I didn't exactly play the song straight through either. I played the first verse and then decided I'd forgotten to actually say what the song was about. And so I stopped and explained the song and then went down and finished the song.
They were great lyrics.
My oldest friend in the world wrote that one. And I sing it better than he does, even without teeth.
Enjoy your evening, then. Have a good... I need to get my legs stretched, you know? I need to sit down and stretch my body because it's seizing up.
Okay, I think Hockey Magoo was keeping recordings of all that. All right, I will
talk
to you.
I'm
going to
look out for it.
I will talk to you someday.
I think it was, what was it called? Alice on the Moon?
First woman on the moon, yes. I do have other recordings of it out there. I think I've got a recording of it on my YouTube channel, which is Zaivala, Z-A-I-V-A-L-A.
Excellent. Excellent.
Can you maybe post a link to that?
Let me go find it. Darn it. Darn
it. Thanks a million.
Let's see. Do I have... I don't see that I have First Woman on the Moon here. I've got some other songs.
Yeah, anything. Let's entertain us. I think at this point it's about only me and you. Everybody else is on idle.
Well, here is my channel. Let me see. I might have it on my wife's channel, or it might, for that matter, be on Lemming's channel.
Yes, okay. Opening that one.
Yeah, it's on Lemming's channel. There we go. And we do this. Come on. There we go. There is First Woman on the Moon, performed by me January 2017 in Atlanta. I did mess up the last chorus, but...
Well, it was good enough to get the idea.
That's weird. I killed everything Tor to try and get rid of this SIP attack. And now YouTube doesn't like me. It wants me to do all that funny, weird verification stuff. Let me try and see what I can do.
Yeah, I haven't been on YouTube for a while because they kept asking me to verify. And then because, you know, they didn't like where I was coming from, they just made me... They said, oh, you have to change all your details. And I just didn't go back.
Yeah, so at the moment, I'm selecting fire hydrants.
Okay, guys, I'm taking off. Enjoy.
Good night.
Cheers, go well. Have a good evening. or day, or whatever it is that it.
Well, I realize it's a low bar, but may 2021 be a better year than 2020.
It definitely will be. I mean, we've learned a shitload in 2020, and we've adapted and proved what the human spirit can do. So, yeah, no, I think we're going to ace this one.
Okay, see ya.
Archer, I thought you'd given up.
Just lost my connection for a minute.
What have you got? DSL, cable, fiber, telegraph?
AT&T DSL. Yeah, telegraph, sure.
Mm-hmm.
Switch virtual desktops, and I think it cut out my connection.
You had all the audiobook recommendations sometime back, didn't you? It was from you, wasn't it? Or am I mistaken?
No, that was Taj and somebody else. They did the audiobook club.
No, on Tilts or on Urandom back in the day, or Kernel Panic, like years ago.
Oh, I wasn't around at that time.
No. The battery ran out of my daughter's Bluetooth headset, so she took mine. Now I'm listening on earbuds with a big long cable that's dangling over my monitor. Just gonna check the audio on some of the shows back in a sec.
Yeah.
That's 3310 posted.
So what's a SIP attack? Curiosity.
Sorry, what was the question?
Curiosity mentioned he was having some trouble with a SIP attack, and he went off to deal with it a while ago, and I just wondered if it was just him or a general broadcast attack.
He didn't know what it was. It turned out to be a Tor browser running in the background.
Okay.
He was DDoSing himself.
Only Moss was struggling with his processor. It was
okay.
At about the same time, and I can't tell because I'm running Boink and stuff.
You're running what?
Boink. Number crunching for diseases.
Oh, and, very good.
That kind of stuff.
Like SETI at home for diseases.
That's yeah.
Okay, what am I doing? Okay, posted process.
And I'm back.
Excellent, Smithers. Excellent.
Simpsons fan, are you?
Yeah, I used to be back in the day, but now that I don't have time.
I used to watch up to about season 20, and then it sort of fizzled out and lost interest.
Been a long time since I watched some Simpsons, but I did get tempted to... Someone told me about What's the drunken scientist guy and his sidekick?
Rick and Morty. Sidekick. Rick and Morty. It's absolutely brilliant. I still love it. Because it's not too much to consume. It's like 7 episodes every 2 years. So it's easy to consume.
I agree.
But you have to be able to laugh at the whole concept of nihilism.
I got a smattering of nihilism here and there in myself. I'm generally pretty optimistic. Yeah,
no, I think you can, if you can laugh at the jokes at least, then you're definitely going to enjoy it. There's some really dark episodes that really is like, really do WTF. But, you know, for the most part, it's actually just good humor.
Yeah, I've had some proper laughs. It's good to get a laugh once in a while.
Even if that laugh stems from the dark side of comedy.
Well, that's what made me feel uneasy about the symptoms back in the day, the symptoms, the Simpsons, where he was falling down a cliff and he was breaking his, I mean, he was always breaking himself, but he's breaking his arms and stuff. And it was maybe even tame in comparison with Tom and Jerry. But there's just, I recognized how disturbed I was. Oh, and something that had me on the floor in bits and I couldn't get up. It was laughing so much. It was Bart Simpson. It was a time, I think it was under a maypole and they were dancing around, sort of weaving him up with his own intestines or something. They'd chopped his arms off. It was just so sick. Like it shouldn't have been funny. And it hurt. Funny. And I felt guilty.
Guilty. Yeah, no, I don't feel guilty. There's a very solid line between comedy and reality. And I think that is something that is actually highlighted with Rick and Morty. It's just literally so out there that the realism disappears from it.
And I like the psychology there as well, actually. It's entertaining enough, not trivial.
You've watched it. One of Spoons. You've actually watched it, eh?
I've not seen them all. I only watch it for free. Oh, no, my friend sent me some. I don't know where it ripped those from. But generally, I watch on YouTube years later, so I haven't seen the more recent ones, and I don't have Netflix. I can't be bothered. I generally don't watch cartoons, but, yeah, I do go looking for that once in a while when I'm just super bored with everything.
Yeah, I've cancelled Netflix after the whole cuties thing. I mean, child porn is just one of my... It's actually one of my active targets where my grey hat comes on and I will not feel guilty breaking the law, attacking people, hosting and supporting child porn. So I cancelled Netflix, but there's a South African a streaming service called Showmax. And at least they've got the Rick and Morty series there on there as well.
Right. I got a friend who was doing some active fight against child abuse, something to do with Operation Death Eaters. He was forever trying to figure out how to do proper, never mind, to his security is terrible because you can get yourself in trouble.
Yeah, the thing is, if you just stay anonymous, the search engine, so if you know the dark web, there's a search engine called Not Evil, and that is probably, when you're new to the dark web, it's probably the first search engine that you will come across. And at the time, I was collecting combo lists in order for my security research. So the idea is to have a combo list of usernames and passwords, like a couple of terabytes in size, then disconnect the username and the password from each other by keeping them in separate tables and sorting them alphabetically so that you can't even go by number of rows and get the password. And just searching for combo list on that Not Evil search engine, it was flooded with child porn. So that Not Evil search engine did get onto my radar as a possible target in the future.
Right. I'm just not... I guess I'm so paranoid about... or not paranoid. I recognize my limits when it comes to signal analysis, you know.
So one of the things that I do is when you do something like that, firstly, regardless of how good you think your SecOps are, you never execute from home. So, and not even in your town or city or whatever. You go take a travel, you leave your cell phone at home, you get onto an anonymous network, and from an anonymous operating system or a brand new VM, and that's where you take it from. I'm not taking chances, and that's why I haven't done anything yet. There's still a crap load of research that needs to be done.
Yeah, exactly. You just got to assume that I would assume that I don't know what's on that wire, and who else is and who else isn't, and how, like, and I just don't need to anyway. If I try and think it through to the I don't know, I'll be sweeping up broken glass under a hedge somewhere.
Yeah, I think I won't even use any of my existing hardware. So I would go and buy a Raspberry Pi 4 and just use that as my PC. And after everything is done, you just go and blow it up with 220 volts or whatever.
I don't know what to say. After going through, think my train of thought going to signal in, what is it, data integrity, or the reason you have your encryption and your checking that the signal that you sent is the signal that you receive, is because that's really important in industry. If you're either medical remote control or airplanes flying, that's always necessary. But then for me to be thinking, there are so many positive things that need to be done in the world, that there are so many messages that you want everybody to hear, rather than hiding stuff. But yeah, I know sometimes you can't retreat. There's nowhere else to go when you're in that concrete room.
Yeah, I think that concrete room for me is the things that's happening to children. I mean, abduction rates globally has shot through the roof. South Africa has seen such a hike of problems. There was an attempted kidnapping 200 meters from my house at a creche where my children used to go a couple of years ago. And I need to stand up to that. It's just like this fire burning inside you to say that, listen, I might have the skills to do something. It might not be, flattening it all of it, but do something and spread the word and let others do a little bit as well. And eventually, because child porn used to be fairly available on the open internet as well, and with the rise of Tor, everything has moved there, and it seems like law enforcement, they keep on taking the drug dealers and whatever, but they letting child porn be, and I just don't get that. Somebody needs to stand up.
Yeah, child abuse is like how you get people looking out for other people's kids. Like how you need a really, I don't know, the community that needs to exist. In order to flush that out to the greatest extent, it's not a small issue, is it?
No, not at all. I've been planning this for a year already, and I'm not even close to starting to commit. I think actually what is needed is not one man. I think underground community needs to rise up, and it needs to be a team effort of a couple of hundred of people with a certain set of skills to start tackling these issues.
Yeah, my first idea is just you want to stop the abuse at the before it happens, don't you? Good enough to recognize when you can't, that if people are sharing new material between each other, then you're quite close to the end of the trail there, and you can hunt those transactions down, and maybe that is a better way to catch people. Probably, you've got bigger chances, right? It's a numbers game for a small resource. I see the logic.
Yeah, but now the thing that gets me down, I mean, I've browsed all over Tor and all the hidden places, and there's these random chats where actual parents swap pictures of their own children between each other. And fuck, that just makes me want to vomit. Sorry about the language. It literally breaks me that a parent, somebody that brought somebody into this world, saw to protect that child, actually is actively involved in destroying them.
Without reducing the focus or the recognition that it's a horrible thing to abuse any human, there's a lot of abuse that goes on in the world, and I wonder, even within veganism, for example, they discuss, after you've tried to do no harm, when do you start trying to stop the actual harm that's being done? And I don't know, it's such, and all of the interventions you might make in the, I'm not trying to change the subject at all. I'm just thinking that when I find myself absorbed in an activity, then I try to check myself to see if I'm not missing a greater effect that I could have from some other angle, even on the same subject.
Yes, I'm thinking you're talking about the bigger picture. So there's always, always a bigger picture. But I think we're sitting at, what, 8 point something billion people on Earth, and everybody's got their own frame of reality. And if individuals, good individuals, choose their battles and dedicate to certain things, then we can actually start to make a change. So me being a meat eater, I'm not going to be involved in the animal activism, although I do find it atrocious what some of these abattoirs are doing. But this is not where I personally go, and I buy from a free range place where I've actually seen the abattoir, and I know that death is instant and all that, yada yada yada. I've had this conversation before, but that is not my battle. So I choose to select where I get my proteins from. I know it's humane, and I know it's free range and all that. But for me, something that gets my adrenaline going a little bit more than animal rights is child rights, being a dad of two. So
right,
I think every person needs to pick his own battle.
For sure, there are billions of humans as well. But if you examine the... like you can catch perpetrators, and maybe you'll catch 10 or even 100 or a whole 500 people who are actually transacting images. But to stop even the idea of abusing another creature or one's own children across the population, I wonder what would be necessary. What's the best way to reduce anybody even wanting to do that? Not that, you know, to not think that it's okay. And the example of people eating meat is that they'll jump through hoops to justify this horrific thing that is they would never themselves do to an animal, not personally, or you know, most people wouldn't, but they'll pay someone else to do it, or they will allow it to happen because it's it's not so how and in so what is it that makes because clearly the people who won't do it, something happens in their mind that they wouldn't even dream of persuading someone else to kill an animal for them. And they wouldn't. So another person who maybe wouldn't abuse their own children, they wouldn't know. The point is, what makes a person consider that their action has impact on another person? How do you would you reduce more the actual perpetration? That's what I'm getting at, rather than the transaction after the fact.
Okay, so I think time to take this conversation just one level up, and no judgment at all. I just would like to know, are you a vegan or not?
Yeah, I am, but the I mean, it's funny. It's the use of the word. Like, it's a tricky word. When I stopped eating animals, it was because I didn't want to have any other animal harmed or be killed, you know. And then I later on or you start identifying with this veganism thing, and it's about not buying leather shoes and all of that. But yeah, the answer is I don't want animals to suffer. I don't want to kill other mammals, certainly. I mean, I don't need to take it to the nth degree, but if just people laid off the mammals, that would make a big difference.
Okay, so...
But I'm not trying to change the subject. I'm quite happy talking about why people, like, how the abuse happens in humans to each other. I wasn't trying to change the subject at all. Just, you know, catching perpetrators and then stopping it from happening is all.
Sure. I think we're actually still on subject. It's just from another angle. And at this point, you might actually ban me or block me or whatever. But personally, okay, I live in South Africa and we grew up pretty much as hunters, most of us. However, that drive for not hurting animals is still there. It's always about the most humane kill. So now if you think about animals in a mass abattoir somewhere in one of these, you know, 10,000 cattles, ranches in the US, and how those animals are treated, walking among their own feces and things like that. I'm not comfortable with that. But if you have something like a kudu or, you know, some sort of antelope living his life in nature the way that God intended, and you manage to kill him humanely, which is you never take a shot when you know that there's any chance of a risk of any suffering. It always has to be an instant kill. And I know it doesn't always work out that way, especially if you watch some of the YouTube hunting channels and things like that. But that drive is always there not to cause any distress or panic or things like that. And I know this is a subject that we're going to differ on like 180 degrees. I think the sentiment behind it still stays the same and might actually still be relevant.
I wouldn't spend too much time trying to stop the very rare hunters that think like that, because the majority of suffering is caused by humans who are just paying someone else to abuse animals for them. So it's not, you know, I'm familiar with the mental territory. And like, I wasn't vegetarian, vegan until I was 20 years old. So I've been immersed in that mindset. And that's the relevant thing in this, an investigation into why people do things and what it is that changes in a person's mind for them to alter their behavior or for them to not consider to abuse another creature or to, you know, abuse a child or a human, whether that's self-control or, you know, how you weave that into society to stop it from happening in the first place.
You know what? I can give you the answer to that. It's profit. It's money. That is the driver behind all of it. If you think about, you know, we as hunters, we try and do things as ethical as possible. But if you look at a ranch with 10,000 cattle and the abattoir that needs to kill them, they need volumes. They need volumes of meat to go out to the consumers. And at that point, money is more important than the suffering of the animal, because they're in a business. They're in a business of making money from animals. So the animal rights just blows out the door. I think like literally 99% of South Africans are so connected to nature. I mean, it's one of the most beautiful countries in the world where nature is concerned. We've got this vast diversity of plants and animals, and we've all been raised by respecting it at almost any cost. And I think that is the difference. It's when you bring capitalism, and I'm not against capitalism, but when you bring the sort of money making into the lives of animals, then the rights of the animals goes out the door because money is involved.
Do you think the profit is driving child abuse?
Oh, absolutely. Those guys are literally making billions. They're making billions. The guys in control. So if you look at the whole Epstein thing and what's that woman with the black hair, they get stupid rich.
Yeah, there's plenty of prostitution in the world. There's no doubt.
Yeah, there's prostitution and forced prostitution as well. So even where a woman of legal age is still forced into certain activities. And that is just as wrong as the whole child abuse thing. And again, I think it boils down to where I choose my battles.
Yeah, something that resonates
very deeply with me.
Yeah, good work. I've got no, you know, good work.
So, I think let's talk about something a little bit less dark and depressing.
Yeah, technically, I'd be happy to, I don't mind sharing technical knowledge, if I had any. You into oscilloscopes?
I've got one. I still need to figure out how it works. I know one function. When I build amplifiers, which is a hobby of mine, so I built my preamps using vacuum valves or tubes, and then I use my build power amps based on the NAPT 250 design that's been published a couple of times. And then when you're setting the bias, that's actually the only thing that I use an oscilloscope for.
So I saw
just to make sure that the bias is exactly the.
Yeah, a really nice tutorial at this scope that someone was showing, and they had a logic analyzer as well. I think that's what it was actually. So they'd hooked up a logic analyzer to this signal, and not only did it, after it zoomed in, you know, you're familiar with the scope and you can zoom in, stop that thing from wiggling around and look at a specific part of the signal. And this logic analyzer, you know, you could zoom in on one of the 1,000 repetitions of the bit of information that was sent, and it, not only did it show that, but it translated the signal on the screen. You know, it was a digital thing into the instructions that each of the logic signals were coding for. It's really such good technology now that you can just read it off the screen without even cross referencing to a table or anything.
Yeah, that's rather interesting. But what I would still hope to see one day is where you could get analog data as a stream from an oscilloscope so that I can run my own Python scripts and things against it to try and analyze what's going on. But my oscilloscope, yes, like I think it's from like 92, 91, thereabout. It's still a CRT type of display.
That I've only used dual trace like CRTs, but the digital ones now they're available, and you can certainly play with the software already because you can get open source software, and there's some open source hardware as well, but some of those scopes are more, you know, they might be $4,000 or something.
For me it's that stuff is fascinating. I actually need to spend more time with it, and I wasted my entire December with some other projects. But yeah, I think I'm definitely going to take it out. Unfortunately, I sold my signal generator because I was strapped for cash. But I just need to spend more time with this stuff.
I think there's a lot.
For me, it literally has one function.
Go ahead.
So for me, that scope has literally one function. So I got it secondhand from a technical college for probably if I do quick conversions, maybe $40-$50 thereabout. And it included the scope and the signal generator that was literally from the 50s. But I sold the signal generator and just held on to the scope.
You already said about getting 100 people, and yeah, you don't need to do everything yourself, do you? You can hire time on a scope if ever you needed to analyze a signal to that level, and you've got experts in different areas. And I guess if you came up with data to be analyzed to break open some abuse ring, then people would help you with that. And you can always just publish stuff, can't you?
Yeah, exactly. And I think publishing data specifically like that might actually garner some extra support.
It's nearly my bedtime now, so I am going to disconnect. Have a good evening.
go well. Enjoy your evening. It's 9 o'clock, so I think I'm going to stick around for another hour and mess around. And yeah, see you around.
Cheerio.
I do not think at 8 p.m. GMT this channel should be this quiet. Just testing audio. Thanks.
Hello.
I think I left myself connected to Mumble all night, so I was trying to figure out if this is working.
Yep, sounds good. I think they finally quit at about 8 o'clock Central Time. And was going through a tutorial on Nextcloud for the Pi.
Oh, yeah. I didn't... One second, sorry. Like I said, I don't know, earlier, I think I just need to set up Nextcloud when I... Something I need to work on.
That's my goal, and I had a little bit of time, so I just wanted to kind of work it out.
Yeah, sounds, fun.
And there's no rush. Are you able to check out Mastodon?
No. I mean, I've heard of it, and I saw the links. I just haven't looked at it yet. I know what it is, what kind of. I'm assuming it's more than I thought it was, though.
More in what way?
Like, I didn't realize it was a self-hosted thing.
Not necessarily self-hosted. Depends on where you get on.
Yeah, but I didn't know it was something you could even do. I just thought it was, like, one central thing. Because I never really looked into it. I just heard of it a few years ago when it started being a thing.
Anyone still awake? Nope, I'm calling it.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.